Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
We're all about when you keep it real, from the toes to the heel, then you're talking about the kicks, and they got to be sick. We're talking about the ones that we had when we were a kid, and evidently you guys are talking about the ones that you had and still have. And if you're a shoehead like me and Trav, and Barry loves the Jordan 11s, well, then you might have a closet or a garage or a storage unit that my wife hates desperately. Still with all of our shoe collections. And Mark at Twitter, Villalobos, is showing off his J's and his OVO and Yeezys.
Oh, God.
A lot. Not in those. That. There's a lot
that dude,
there.
I don't understand how Kanye West can get away with charging $100 for a T-shirt. That's what I'm fascinated by. And there are people buying those T-shirts.
You can't argue. I don't understand. You can't argue with fools.
I don't understand. Hey, man, that.
Can I just say this, by the way? Did you see Uncle Buck?
I didn't watch that show.
Oh, it's a movie. You should probably see it.
Oh,
because whatever's have a show going on with Uncle your Buck. Headset, you get Molly Russell's wart every day.
Yeah, because when I put the hat on that one day and wore it, the inside of my headphones is starting.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But now you look like Molly Russell's wart, and it looks like I need to give you a quarter to have a rat lance something off on the back of your on top of your head downtown.
That's because I shaved. I finally cut my hair.
Yeah. So now Trav officially is the stand up double for Suge Knight. And so please don't mess with the show, because he's here.
I was going to mess with him about his sneakers. I'm not going to now.
I
run
told
me
everybody.
Over.
I mean, if we go in with a show centric ass kicking, I got my lead. I'm just following right behind.
Got you.
Nick, at the other, on the other hand, just might be silly enough to be the hood ornament in front. That's a sacrificial lamb.
Exactly.
Hey, we've talked a lot about J.J. Watt today. We got into the shoe business. We got into a lot of other things. And right now we're getting into bringing you guys the most technical and up-to-date information that you will need about injuries in the NFL, primarily about two in Texas and one specifically to start with, that of J.J. Watt in his back. With that, I bring in one of the members of the Wii team. We all know that Travis Johnson's Wii team are the Wii's of the Raiders, the Texans, and the Chargers. And his former team doctor with the Chargers, David Chow, joins us now from, I assume, sunny Southern California. Doctor, thanks so much for joining us. And, of course, you can get your greetings and salutations in with one Trap J99.
Always good to be on. And, look, anytime Trap texts me, if I can break away from patients, I'm good. He's the best.
Patience-mations, Doc. Just put a Band-Aid on it and give them an IV, and we'll be willing to have you on any time at all. Before, I guess, to not mince words and get right down to it, you obviously are somewhat familiar with the type of injury J.J. Watt had. We've been going back and forth. There's a lot of media scrutiny going on now about J.J. and the lateness of which he had the surgery leading into training camp, and then the recovery period, which was originally set at 6 to 8 weeks. With all that said, when J.J. goes through that kind of process, is it fair to say that he came back too soon, or how would you evaluate what JJ went through?
Well, you know, I don't have the inside information in the sense that I haven't seen JJ Watt's MRI scan or examined him, and if I had, I wouldn't be able to talk
because
of HIPAA privacy laws. But looking at it from the outside, you know, it was going to be very difficult for him to be effective this early in the season. I said it in a Real Football Network piece and wrote about it, that, look, July 22nd surgery and to play week one, that's difficult. Now, hats off to J.J. Watt. He's a superstar athlete, and he did it, and he played. But we can predictably, he wasn't 100%. Realistically, it would have taken to mid-season to get closer to 100%. If you look at Dontari Poe, D-lineman from the Chiefs last year, very similar time frame. He indeed played all 16 games without re-injury, but he really wasn't himself to the later half of the season, and I would have expected that. Aggravation, I think, and a setback can be expected in terms of the recovery if you're pushing too hard. Re-injury, I think, is unpredictable and may not have been expected.
Question, Doc. I know for me, when you of course, you know, we talk all the time about the injury in Oakland and the way we rehabbed and the way we went about it. And I remember the first thing you told me and James and Damon was basically y'all signed me up for a Pilates class and says, get your core right because it'll help out everything else. Do you think his core and tearing of that ab muscle last year had anything to do with how his back responded after this surgery?
Well, I'm not sure about if the ab part of the core had anything to do with the back, but yes, core is very, very important. He should have had enough time to recover from the core surgery last year, but there's no question it's not enough time from his surgery to be 100% on his core muscles. When you do a disc surgery, it's a very small incision, and the surgery itself is not that difficult to recover from. The rehab from it is very difficult because you're going through, you know, up to 5 inches of muscle. The disc is way deeper than anyone thinks that it is, and you have to go through muscle to get there. So the core muscle rehab to get back into shape and get back into football shape is just not possible in a short time period. And I think he did a great job in bucking the odds and not missing time and coming back to play. But I think we would all see he wasn't the defensive player of the year caliber these first 3 games.
Doc, can you possibly diagnose Travis with something now so that he can work on his core again? Because we are concerned with him from time to time based on what we see him come into the studio with.
Look, that just means that you know Travis very well.
That's correct. We're tight. Well, let me ask you this, Doc.
Well, I could tell you some stories about Trap. I mean,
and we're all for that. That's why you could be a regular contributor, because those stories are gold, radio gold. I know that already.
I'm telling you that, I've often asked the most unique pregame ritual I've ever seen in my life.
I've actually heard about it, and that's enough for me to throw up in the back of my mouth. But no, I do realize
he's talking about another one.
Oh, I'm talking about some of the other ones I've heard of. But, Doc, on a serious note, as we get back to this J.J. Watt story, because everybody in Houston is obviously asking questions about it, but now that the damage is done, literally, what are we talking about in terms of the significance of the injury? And, again, you don't have the records, but if he goes out too soon and he aggravates or injures something, what are we talking about in terms of what is he looking at? What are the possibilities of what he could have done, the extent of which he could have done it, and then realistic come back again this year, or do you just basically write off the season and say you just got to get 100% right before you try it again?
Well, I think there's no question people are going to want him 100% right before he tries it again. The question is, what did he, quote, re-injure? Is this a re-herniation of the same disc? Is it a herniation of a different disc? Is it the same disc on the same side, or is it on the other side? Is it a muscle injury, quote, re-injury related to the surgery? Too many unknowns to tell when he's going to come back. Certainly there hasn't been a specific announcement. It's not like they've announced another surgery or anything like that. So I think it needs to be a little bit of wait and see in terms of what's going to happen here, in terms of how long he's going to be out for.
Well, Doc, our big brother station that just reported on ESPN that it was the same disc, the re-injuring of the same disc. So what does that mean if you are the surgeon? What does that mean if somebody was to come in and have that same disc issue?
Well, you know, thanks for telling me that. I just finished up with surgery, so I haven't heard any of the latest news this morning. And in general, if you think of a disc, there's the edge of the disc or the hard fibrous tissue, and then the, quote, softer stuff, the jelly in the middle. It's the jelly in the middle that gets squirted out. And when you remove the disc, you're not removing the structural part or the rim. You're just removing the jelly in the middle. The jelly in the donut gets squirted out. And what you do when you do disc surgery is you remove the jelly that's squirted out on the nerve and pushing on it. And surgeons often will go in and at the same time try and remove as much of the jelly as possible to prevent re-injury from happening. Now, obviously, if this is the report, then likely there is some more disc that is squirted out. But that doesn't necessarily mean he has to have surgery. Sometimes you can get better with time. And it does happen again a second time, unfortunately. But that could happen whether in this early time frame or it could have happened next year as well. So it's a little too simple to say he rushed him back and this is why that it happened.
But Doc, just one real quick, because I've had some back issues myself, and there's also been some back and forth in terms of the extent of the damage to his discs. But essentially with the back right now and with discs, you basically are trying to rehab until you absolutely can't anymore and try every possible option. Because right now, from a medical perspective, there is no artificial disc coming in that could help solve that problem. If it gets bad enough, isn't fusion the next step?
Well, that if it gets bad enough, and that's a big if.
Okay.
I wouldn't even want to talk about that. And it would be very unusual to, within 2 months of having a first disc surgery, to be bad enough to need a fusion. That would be quite a stretch and quite a leap. And by the way, if it got to a fusion, that indeed might be career threatening. Right now, there's no reason to think that anything that's going on with J.J. Watt is going to be career threatening. Certainly, it's season threatening and maybe even ending, but not career-wise. If you got to fusion or, quote, artificial disc, if it was that bad, yes, indeed, that would come into play. But I really think we're a ways from that.
So, quick question, Doc. I know in San Diego, the hierarchy of things were you, Damon, James, and Norv would discuss a lot of things, what was going on with the athlete, you know, i.e. when Phillip had surgery, everybody knows he had surgery and played a week later after with the ACL injury. Who do you put this on for allowing JJ to go out there far too early? Because in my opinion, I put it on the head coach, because I'm figuring somebody has to protect the player from himself. But who do you put this on, and who do you see is going to end up being the scapegoat for this?
Well, I don't know who's going to be the scapegoat, but I can describe to you how return to play is discussed. And it's a three-headed monster that has to vote unanimously to play. Any of the people who says no play and the player does not play, and it doesn't matter if two, it's not a two out of three vote, it's three out of three. Who are the three parties? There's the medical staff, the doctor and the trainer. The doctor from a safety perspective and the athletic trainer from an effectiveness and both of them from a re-injury perspective. So you have the medical vote. The second vote is from the player, whether the player himself or his agent or his family or whoever's making the decisions. Sometimes decisions are made like, you know, I'm going to sit because I want to get it right. I got a contract year and what have you. So there, the player has to want to do it, the player slash the agent. The third party in this is, I'll call it management, the GM ownership slash head coach. Whether it's Aaron Rodgers and ownership and management saying, no, we're going to be conservative, or a different situation where you're rushing him back. But it has to be unanimous. If the doctor is saying no, there's no way the player and the coach can force their way into playing. If the player is saying no, there's no way it can happen. If the player and the doctor are both saying yes and the coach or the GM doesn't want it to happen, it won't happen. So, you know, if you're really talking blame or responsibility, I have to say that it's shared.
Well, there you have it, Doc. That's unbelievable insight.
No question.
That's the kind of stuff that we've been kicking around for almost 2 hours now, and that's exactly what we speculated on. And that three-headed monster that you just defined for us is definitely something that's spelling it out for the listeners, and we definitely appreciate it. We're going to make sure that you are, as we say, it's from the locker room to the living room to the barbershop and everywhere in between. You definitely have skipped the bear rug and the beanbag chair. You have a seat at our table anytime with the remote, and we'll even give you the remote on Thursday nights at this point to be a part of our living room. But thank you so much for joining us, because it's been incredible, the information you've been able to give us.
Thanks, Doc. Tell Kim and the kids I said what's up.
All right, thanks, Trap. You the man.
All right, take care. Appreciate you.
Dr. David Chow, the ex-doctor of the San Diego Chargers, giving you information that I dare say you can't find anywhere else.
Not at all.
Because he broke it down for us, and he broke it down in a big way. And we didn't even get to the Dez Bryant injury that he was going to break down. But he said, he kind of fibbed a little bit. He said he wasn't in touch with what was going on today, but yet he had already tweeted about Dez's injury. So my man's pretty tightly into the sports scene. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That was great stuff. We give that all to Travis Johnson. Props to Trav, which Trav likes to take and run with every chance he gets. ESPN 97.5 FM.